ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायाद् मुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च गोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमः पंकजनाभाय नमः पंकजमालिने नमः पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकज आंग्रये। हरे कृष्ण। सॉरी फॉर डिसअपॉइंटिंग यू ऑल। अग्निदेव प्रभु वॉज सपोज टू गिव क्लास बट आई थिंक ही इज नॉट वेल सो आई वॉज आस्क्ड टू गिव क्लास सो यू मस्ट हैव कम विथ एक्सपेक्टेशन दैट ही इज गिविंग क्लास एंड यू हैव टू फेस मी बट आई होप आई विल बी एबल टू स्पीक समथिंग ऑफ वैल्यू एंड आई होप इट विल बी यू नो वर्थ फॉर अटेंडिंग क्लास इफ Lord puts something in my mouth. So today we are reading verse 29. Nashta shocho mudhadhiyo jada bhasma dhidharina vishantu shiva dikshayam त्र दैवं सुरासवम्। नष्ट शौचो क्लीनलीनेस बीइंग अबंडेंड मूढ़ाधीय फुलिश जटा भस्मास्थि धारिणः वियरिंग लॉन्ग हेयर एशेस एंड बोन्स विशंतु में एंटर शिव दीक्षायाम इंटू इनिशिएशन ऑफ वर्शिपिंग ऑफ शिवा यत्र वेर दैवम आर स्पिरिचुअल सुरासवम वाइन एंड लिकर। Those who vow to worship Lord Shiva are so foolish that they initiate him by keeping long hair on their heads. When initiated into worship of Lord Shiva, they prefer to live on wine, flesh and other such things. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Indulging in wine and meat, keeping long hair on one's head, not bathing daily and smoking ganja, marijuana, are some of the habits which are accepted by foolish creatures who do not have regulated lives. By such behavior, one becomes devoid of transcendental knowledge. In the initiation into the Shiva mantra, there are mudrikashtaka, in which it is sometimes recommended that one make his sitting place as vagana and thus desire nirvana or dissolution of existence. In that process of worship, wine is needed. Or sometimes in the place of wine, palm tree juice, which is converted into an intoxicant. This is also offered acting to the Shiva Agam, a scripture on the method of worshipping Lord Shiva. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padvakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padar Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vidamsham Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So today we are reading 4th canto, 2nd chapter, verse number 29. So yesterday Agnidev Prabhu was mentioning this chapter, title of this chapter should be Daksha Gone Mad. So here we are seeing, before I start and come to this verse, just we'll recap and set the context so that you know, people understand what is happening in this chapter, and then it will be easy to understand the verse and the purport. So this chapter starts with Daksha Prajapati, who is desiring or to have a yajna, big yajna perform or sacrifice perform for the welfare of the humanity. And for that he has invited many great sages, including Brahma and Shiva. So there are associates of Shiva present there, as well as associates of Daksha or great Brahmins, as well as Brahma and Shiva there. So the arena for sacrifice is ready. All the Brahmins, the associates of Shiva, Brahma and Shiva are already present, and there enters the Daksha Prajapati. As he enters, Brahma welcomes him, who is his father. And although he is elder, but by welcoming him, he is indirectly also giving him respect. But Brahma and Shiva did not stand up. All others stood up to give respect to Daksha. So Brahma, it was okay because he was elder. That's what Daksha thinks. And Shiva didn't stand up in showing respect. And when Daksha Prajapati goes and takes a seat, just before that, he gets very angry and he's agitated and he starts cursing Lord Shiva. And there are many verses which explain how he is cursing Lord Shiva. So, what do we understand and see from this? What can we learn from this scene where Daksha Prajapati is cursing Lord Shiva? So first is that, you know, although he is taken a big project of welfare of the humanity by performing great sacrifice, but there are some subtle things in that. One of that is, you know, he has his some personal motive in it, that his own glorification or expecting the respect, right? So in the community of devotees, whenever we come together for such projects or welfare activities, if we come with the motive of our own agenda of self-glorification, then that project is sure to be doomed. So one has to be always selfless in the community of devotees or a spiritual organization when they are especially coming together. So here Daksha is expecting a respect on the basis that he is a father-in-law of Shiva. But that is bodily conception. He is failing to understand the position of Shiva. So here we'll see how he is been presented one of the greatest opportunity of showing respect to the great personalities like Brahma and Shiva and being benefited by that. But he is doing exactly the opposite and missing that opportunity. How? So, it is said that, once I have met one very great devotee. Now he is a sannyasi, but he is very simple, very nice devotee. And he told me once that, that as soon as you meet a devotee, your behavior should be such that automatically the blessings from his heart should come out. And if that happens, that is really the success of our life. So we say that we have heard this word, Krupa Drushti. So Krupa Drushti means what? Drushti means to see. And Krupa means the blessing. So a devotee, even glancing at someone, is kind of a blessing. Yeah, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is said that even by the devotees glancing at others, he is showering his blessings onto him, and he purifies those devotees just by glancing. So I exactly don't recollect that verse, but so, just a glance of a devotee is purifying. So here, Daksha had this opportunity of being, receiving the blessings of great personalities like Brahma and Shiva. But he, he is wasting that opportunity by his own expectation of being respected. So it is said that, Vaishnava etiquette is that ornament a devotee wears by which a lord is attracted. This is given in Chaitanya Sanatana Shiksha, where a discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami is happening. So he says that, you know, it is the ornament of a devotee, that Vaishnava etiquette. So what is Vaishnava etiquette? Is really the behavior of a devotee. And that behavior attracts Krishna. So there is nothing else that, you know, can impress Krishna. Like we have seen that, you know, Krishna goes to persons like Duryodhan. He tries to impress him by giving lot of, you know, comforts or luxuries, nice food to eat, but he is not impressed. Similarly, we will see in these verses that, you know, how people do lot of austerities. They perform, you know, try to acquire knowledge, but nothing impresses Krishna. But the simple behavior of, you know, giving respect, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So it is really the values of a devotee which manifest in his Vaishnava behavior, isn't it? That attracts Krishna. So we see that, you know, in any learning there are three aspects to it. So what are they? Information, skills, and values, right? So information is something very easy to obtain. If we keep reading books, you know, attend classes, all the information of, you know, shastras is available. We can start speaking the verses, we can memorize the verses, we know all, detailed things which even, you know, many scientists, and they will not know, like there are 84,000 living entities, how there are 14 planetary system, how is universe structure. This is all information, right? So which can be easily obtained. But, you know, more difficult than that is little bit of skills. We have to do some practice, then we develop skills. But that is also nothing great in it. But what is most important thing in life is the values. So how we develop the Krishna conscious values is the real essence of our following Krishna bhakti. So here we are seeing that values is something that takes most time for us to develop. And it doesn't come, you know, just by somebody giving class and we accept it, right? It is deliberation, you know, sincerity, in which, you know, we develop and accept this quality. And it's more that, you know, we learn by observing others than, you know, by somebody telling us that follow these values. So that's why it is said, yadyad acharati shrestha tattad evetara jana sa yatra pramanam kurute lokas tatra anuvardade. So here daksha is that shrestha, you know, elderly person, you know, who everyone is following. But here he is setting a wrong example for others to follow. What? That it is said, normally when you want to praise someone, you should do it in a public, right? But if you want to correct someone, then that has to be done privately. But here, you know, he is showing a very gross behavior that, you know, in front of everyone, although, you know, he is not understanding Shiva's position, that is also secondary thing. But he is publicly in front of everyone, he is cursing Shiva and, you know, insulting him. So this is such a wrong behavior, which as a great person should not have been done. Even subtly he is also insulting Brahma. How? Because he is elder. Now somebody, if you are in front of some elderly person, you do not correct somebody who even think is a junior, isn't it? Like in one of the Vaishnava etiquette is, in front of the deities, we don't shout at anyone. Similarly, if so, imagine our spiritual master is next to us and we are correcting someone in front of our spiritual master. Can we do that? No. So here, Daksha is also doing that, isn't it? So, subtly he is also disrespecting his father, Brahma. And it is not the first time that he is cursing someone, Vaishnav. There is also a description of Prajapati Daksha cursing Narada. If you remember this, this will come in 6th canto. Exactly, it is not sure which chronologically which one happens first, but Prajapati also curses Narada Muni because he was preaching his sons and making them brahmacharis. So Parikshit Maharaj, Prajapati Daksha, he had given birth to 10,000 sons, and he tells them, now you populate this world with your progeny. And they go and do the tapasharya. Narad Muni goes and preaches them, makes all of them brahmacharis, and they go away. So the second time he gives again birth to 1,000 sons, again gives them the same instruction. They also go perform austerity. Again Narad Muni goes and preaches them, they all become brahmachari. And then that really disturbs Daksha. So he decides that, and he gets very angry and he curses Narad Muni that you will not be able to stay in one place for more than 3 days, something similar. So then Narad Muni could have left that place without listening to curse, but he stood up just patiently so that, his desire of, anger should come out and let him curse and I'll accept that. So here we see that the Narad Muni also showed the quality of a Vaishnava, that, Titikshva ka, Karanika, Surudam Sarvadehina. So he is merciful, he is tolerant, he is accepting whatever curse being given. And similarly we see Shiva also doing the same thing. What did he just stood up. Now we will see that, Daksha is cursing him, then his followers are also going to do the curse of to the Nandishwar. But Shiva is silent, he's just watching, he is not acting. So he's showing the behavior of Amanina Manadena. And that's what, the devotee has to follow. Only then, we can do Kirtaniya Sadahari. That's why Shiva, Narada, they can chant continuously all the time. Why? Because they are Amanina Manadena. So later we see in that pastime that after Daksha curses, Nandishwar, who are the followers of Shiva, they start cursing Brahmans who were supporting Daksha. And Bhrigu Muni start cursing the followers of Shiva. And that's where we are now, where Daksha has started cursing and saying that those who are followers of Shiva, what kind of behavior they do. So we see that the followers of Shiva, they follow Shastra which is called Shiva Agam. And the practices they follow are quite horrible. Like, if you see that there are different sampradayas also, those who are followers of Shiva. They are sometimes called Aghoris. Aghori, we saw that this verse, Ghori, Ghor, which is used by Daksha in cursing Shiva. So, the followers of Shiva are also called Aghoris. Why? Because they do very terrible things. What are their activities? If they, it is mentioned that they are being initiated in the Shiva mantra, followers of Shiva. So they also have initiation process like ours. So if somebody wants to take initiation in that process, first he has to do is to go to crematorium when he finds that, somebody is burned. Then he collects the bones and skull of a person. And he starts using that skull as his paraphernalia in worshipping. So he uses that skull and with that wine, he offers, that wine as some, like we do achaman, you know, they, that kind of thing. They offer wine onto these skulls, bones, and they start, they are even cannibals. You know, their thinking is that, you know, nothing is inauspicious, and they artificially try to show that by their activities. Why? And how they do it? They'll even eat meat. They will even take the, you know, when the body is burned, whatever is left out flesh, they will eat that. So, and then the bhasma or the ashes which comes from the pile of, you know, burning body, they'll apply on their body. They'll grow long hairs. Some, you know, babas will have even hairs some 20, 30 feet, you know, as their jata, you know. So, and then they will sometimes tie on the head, or they will be, you know, some people walking behind them carrying their jata because they are so long grown. And they aspire to develop a lot of mystic powers, right? So, but their understanding is that one has to develop the detachment from this world. And to develop that detachment, they think that we'll reject any that there is something inauspicious and auspicious in this world. So they are doing this artificially. And while doing that, you know, they are following these practices. So this one type of cult or the parampara is called Aghoris. And there is another one, which are called Naga Babas. So we have, all of us must have heard about them. So they don't even wear anything, of any clothes. And their behavior is so mystic. You know, when the Kumbh Mela happens, that's the only time they are visible to anyone. And they come to places of Kumbh Mela. No one knows how they come, how they go, and what they eat. And they are given the first preference to take the bath there as a respect. And they all apply, you know, ashes and all that. That's the only thing on their body. And they carry tridents. And they are very, very, horrible. You know, they can attack you. Even so much that, you know, when the British were there in India, they tried to attack them. And they were so fierce that they counter-attacked, and the Britishers, they decided that not to mess with them, let them live the way they are. And anyway, they have nothing to do in managing the country and anything. So they live in the forest, they live on the dead bodies, they eat the dead bodies of animals or humans, and they are not normally visible. So these are kind of people we see. And why they are like that? Because of the curse of the Brahmins like Bhrugumuni. And here we also saw that Nandishwar has cursed the Brahmins, that because you have supported Daksha, you will become fruitive workers. Isn't it? And you will be attached to sense gratification following the Vedas. And you'll use Vedas as a means of, as a means to develop sense gratification. Desire for sense gratification, elevation to the Swargalok, where, you know, there is enjoyment of senses. So we see that there are these two different categories of, you know, so-called spiritualist. One who is artificially developing the renunciation, and one on the basis of Vedas, although trying to develop, you know, purify consciousness, are becoming attached to fruitive results. But the process that we follow is the balance of that. So seeing this, what we should learn is how we not become attached to either this artificial renunciation or sense gratification. We show that although we are following Krishna consciousness, we also, you know, sometimes show artificial renunciation or do activities out of, you know, showing, you know, desiring the detachment and do something which is not required. And sometimes, you know, although we want to be spiritualists or, you know, we want to go back to Godhead, we have such strong desires that we try to accumulate a lot of wealth and try to enjoy that pleasure. So our process, our bhakti process, is, you know, balance of this, and it is much much better and simple. So this process is explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrut. So I'll try to read that, how our process is a balance of this, you know, and great, you know, much much better than or transcendental as compared to these people who are the jnanis, yogis or fruity workers. So this is from Chaitanya Charitamrut, Madhya Leela, 22nd chapter. So in this, the summary of this chapter, Prabhupada has given a nice explanation of this chapter and glories of devotional service. The chapter itself is titled Glories of Devotional Service. In the 22nd chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the process of devotional service. In the beginning, he describes the truth about the living entity and super excellence of devotional service. He then describes the uselessness of mental speculation and mystic yoga, which we are seeing in these verses of these chapters. How these mental speculation and mystic yoga are useless. In all circumstances, the living entity is recommended to accept the path of devotional service as personally explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The speculative method of the so-called jnanis is considered waste of time, and that is proved in this chapter. An excellent an intelligent person should abandon the process of karma kand, jnana kand and mystic yoga. One should give up all useless process and take seriously to the path of Krishna consciousness. In this way, one's life will be successful. By practicing even one of the 9 processes of devotional service, one can become successful. So we have Navada Bhakti, you know, starting with Shravanam, Kirtanam. So even if one perfects one item of that, his life will be perfect. Speculative knowledge and mystic yoga can never help one in devotional service. So this is a purport given by Srila Prabhupada in that chapter. He also says, if one engages in devotional service, all good qualities follow. Yashasti bhakti bhagavatir akinchana. So as one starts practicing bhakti process, all the good qualities develop in him. So what I am reading now is really the Bhagavatam class of between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami. So it's always, you know, many times we study Bhagavatam on our own, but really when we start reading Chaitanya Charitamrut, we understand, you know, the different aspects or what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thinks about Bhagavatam. How, you know, what are the important verses and that glorifying Bhagavatam or the process. So what I'm reading now is really the Bhagavatam class between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami. So with the mercy of Mahaprabhu, I'll read this. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Tam Karunarnavam Kalava Api Ati Gudheyam Bhaktir Yena Prakashitaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is an ocean of transcendental mercy, although the subject, the age of coral. So we see that the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is such that, now it is said, even if one decides to, follow him, closing his eyes, he starts running, still he'll reach the destination. Is it really possible? I mean, somebody closes his eyes and just starts running wherever he wants. But, it is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process is such that, or such a glorious, one don't have to think so much. He just have to close eyes and wherever he runs, he is going to achieve the destination. So, this is the glory of being follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining the glories of devotional service. Ehi to kahilu sambandha tatvera vichar veda shastrera upadesha krishna ekasar. So what he is saying, the essence of our process or philosophy is krishna ekasar. Krishna is the only essence of our philosophy. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have described one's relationship with Krishna in various ways. This is the subject matter of all the Vedas. Krishna is the center of all activities. Ebe kahi suna abhideya lakshan yaha haite payak Krishna prema dhan. So what he is saying, by following this, what we are going to get? Krishna prema dhan. So we are not just going to get Krishna prema. What we are going to get? So there is a bonus with that. What is the bonus? That Krishna himself. So when one practices devotional service, he doesn't only get the Krishna prema, but he is going to get the Krishna himself. Now I shall speak about the characteristics of devotional service by which one can attain the shelter of Krishna and his loving transcendental service. Krishna bhakti abhideya sarva shastra kai ate eva muni gana kariyache nishchay. Human beings' activity should be centered only on devotional service to Lord Krishna. This is the verdict of all the Vedic literature. And all the saintly people have firmly concluded this. So there is, after this, there is one nice verse from the Shrutis where it is said, when the mother Vedas or the Shrutis is questioned as whom to worship, she says that, you are the only Lord and worshipable object. Similarly, the corollaries of the Shruti Shastras, the Shruti Shastras are considered to be the sisters. The mother is Veda and the Shruti Shastras are the sisters. And what are they confirming? Shruti Shastras give the same instruction, just like as the sisters. And the Puranas, who are like the brothers, the son of Vedas. So the Puranas, which are like brothers, follow the footsteps of their mother, O enemy of demon Mura. So they are glorifying the Lord Murari. And what are they giving? Conclusion they are giving. Conclusion is that you are the only shelter. Now I have understood this. Understood this in truth. So Vedas, Shruti Mantras or Puranas, they give the same conclusion that ultimate truth and goal of our life is Krishna and devotional service. So, for devotees, their life starts and ends with three things. What are they? Bhakta, Bhakti and Bhagwan. Right? So bhakta means a devotee. So other devotees apart from me. And the process, which is bhakti. And The object of the process is Bhagavan. So we see that our practice is such that, you know, it starts and ends with these three items: Bhakta, Bhakti and Bhagavan. Ehi sab sadhanera ati tuchh bal, Krishna bhakti vina tah dite nahi phal. So without devotional service, all other methods of spiritual self-realization are weak and insignificant. Unless one comes to the devotional service of Lord Krishna, jnana yoga cannot give the desired results. So we are seeing here, you know, how there are different followers of jnana kand, karma kand and yogis or mystics. So they are not going to get any result unless there is some element, at least some element of Krishna in it or Vishnu. So even if, you know, while they are performing this other practices, even if they have little bit, you know, connection with Krishna, then only that process will give some result. Without that, it will not give. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quoting some verses from Bhagavatam. Tapasvino dana para yashasvino manas. Tapasvino dana para yashasvino manasvino. Those who give away all their possessions out of charity, those who are very famous for their auspicious activity, those who engage in meditation and mental speculation, and even those who are very expert in reciting the Vedic mantras, are not able to obtain any auspicious results. Although they are engaged in auspicious activities, if they do not dedicate their activities to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I therefore repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose glories are always auspicious. So speculative knowledge alone without devotional service is not able to give any liberation. On the other hand, even without knowledge, one can obtain liberation if the law, if one engages in the Lord's devotional service. So one tries to study a lot of shastras, thinking that, you know, getting that knowledge, I will develop detachment and will get liberation. No. Even though he practices the, you know, developing knowledge, spiritual knowledge for lifetimes, he will not get liberation. But somebody follows Krishna consciousness or bhakti, and even if he doesn't get any knowledge, he'll still get liberation.
Bhukti mukti siddhi kami subuddhi jadi hai gada bhakti yoga tabe krishnera bhajai.
So due to bad association, the living entities desire material happiness, liberation or merging into the impersonal aspect of the Lord. Or he engages in mystic yoga for material power. If such a person actually becomes intelligent, he takes to Krishna consciousness by engaging himself in the intense devotional service to Lord Shri Hari.
Shreya Srutim Bhakti Samudyasyate Vibho Klishanti Ye Kevala Bodhaya Labdhaye Tesham So Kleshala Eva Shishyate Nanyadyathastula Tushaya Vaghati Nam.
My dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the best path of self-realization. And if someone gives up that path and engages in the cultivation of speculative knowledge, he will simply undergo a troublesome process and will not achieve his desired result. As a person who beats empty husk of wheat
cannot get grain. One who simply speculates cannot achieve the self-realization. His gain is trouble.
So this is verse by Brahma. In the Brahma Vimohan Leela, he is saying this. Now if someone tries to follow other processes, he is not going to get any result. It is like beating the husk, empty husk. There is no grains left in it.
Krishna Nitya Das Jivataha Bhuli Gela Ehi Doshe Maya Tara Galaya Bandhila.
So the person who is following other process, what is he doing really? Now he is tying the Maya to his neck. We put the garland in our neck as blessings. But what they are doing? They are inviting Maya to put themselves in the illusion.
The living entity is bound around the neck by the chain of Maya because he has forgotten that he is eternally the servant of Krishna.
So although people are following the different processes, what they are really seeking is their own self-interest, something like gaining mystic powers or respect for oneself or trying to be Lord. So he is forgetting his relationship with the Lord, and because of which it is said, another verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Jhapatiya Maya. So it is like the Maya is catching hold of him and keeping us in the illusion, or binding us to this material world.
So again, there is a famous word, Ye Anne Aravindaksha Vimukta Maninas Toya Astabhava Vishuddha Buddhaya Aruya Kruchena Param Padam Patantyado Anajuta Jushmata Angraya. Somebody who thinks that he is liberated, Vimukta Manina, by following all these types of process, he considers himself to be liberated. But he is a Vishuddha Buddhaya. His intelligence is very impure. And what is he thinking?
Someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees but who have accepted different process for attaining salvation. Although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard to your lotus feet. So because they have not developed the attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna, all these severe penances or austerities will finally pull them down into the material world.
Krishna tomarahana yadi bala ekabar maya bandha hai te Krishna tarakare par.
So on the other hand, even someone one says, oh Lord, I am yours. So this is what will happen to him.
One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya. If he seriously and sincerely says, my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years and in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service.
So we don't have to follow this severe austerities. We just have to come in front of the deity and say, oh my Lord, I have forgotten you. So please forgive me. And what is the result of that? By his blessings, we will be released from the clutches of Maya. So for us, the process is so simple. We don't have to practice these great penances. And in turn, what does the Lord says? This is a famous verse from Ramayana, where Bibhishan comes to surrender to Ram, and he is saying that, you know, I want to surrender to you. And then what does the Lord says? Sakrud eva prapanno yas tavasmiti cha yachate abhayam sarvada tasmi dadami etat vratam mama. This is my vow. The Lord Ram is saying, you know, somebody who is saying to him that I want to surrender to him. So Lord Ram is saying, this is my vow, that it is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from the time on. So it is vrat, it is a vow of the Lord that I'll protect you. I'll take you back to Godhead. And you know, what can be, you know, more assuring than the Lord himself taking the vow? You just say once that, you know, I surrender to you and I'll take you back to the spiritual world. So then, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is again quoting verse from 5th canto. The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it, and that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. So one may try to follow Vedas in the desire of, you know, elevating themselves to the spiritual world. But even for devotees, it is easily achieved. So if he worships Lord but still keeps the desire of material pleasures, the Lord awards him that. Akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajet purusham param. So what kind of, you know, no matter what kind of desires we have, we still should follow Krishna consciousness. And if we do that, what Lord is going to do? He is going to award that or fulfill all our desires. But he adds to that. What he thinks is, this person is foolish. He is desiring material sense gratification while worshipping him. But I am intelligent. No? What I'll do, I'll fulfill his desires, but also remove those desires so he, next time, he doesn't desire for such things and he'll be purified. So this is the blessings of Lord. So all our progress in Krishna consciousness comes from the blessings of devotees and Krishna. So we don't have to follow these austerities like, you know, the followers of Shiva are doing, or the karma kandis, those who study Vedas, or you know, with the desire to elevate themselves to the spiritual, swargalok, heavenly planets. So our process is simple. We follow the parampara and we surrender to Krishna with our sincerity and by the blessings of Vaishnavas and Lord, we perfect our life. So just to conclude that, you know, what is the glory of devotional service over these severe austerities? In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there is a conversation between Arjun and Krishna, where he is saying, who is better? Those who are attached to the impersonal aspect of Lord, who perform austerities and, you know, the people are like followers of Shiva, or devotees. So there, Krishna is explaining, klesho adhik tarastesham, avyakta sakta chetasa, avyakta hi gatir dukham, dehabit vira vapyate.
So, of these two types of people, the devotees are better. Because they don't have to undergo such trouble of austerities. And by devotional service, they can quickly come back to me. How? Tesham aham samuddharta mrityu samsara sagarat. I lift them from this ocean of birth and death. And by that, you know, we go back to Godhead and perfect our life in a happy way. Susukham kartum avyam. The process of devotional service is susukham. And it is happily and performed. And it is enjoyable. But on the other hand, the people who follow this kind of practices, they only have to go troublesome path. And if they don't have, you know, little element of Krishna consciousness in it, for even if they follow for lifetimes, they will not be perfected. So with that, I'd like to conclude. If anyone has some comments or questions, I'll try to understand, I'll give something. So they are actually following the other, their acharyas, you know, who are the Aghori Babas and all that. So the reason they follow this is, you know, that, you know, why they eat meat and, you know, all things is, they don't want to depend on any society for food. So they say that we live in the crematorium, where people are burning the bodies, we'll eat from that. Or in the, they live in the forest, you know, away from everyone. So what food is available there, they eat, like, you know, the dead bodies of animals. Also, they take the wine, you know, all, when they are performing this austerities, you know, their body, they you know, experience the pain and all that. So they also want to forget that, you know, temporarily. And they have attachment for such intoxicants also. So that's why they take it. So it's not that required to be, you know, Shiva follower. Somebody can be a Vaishnava while following Shiva. Like there is a Shiva Sampradaya. So they don't follow these things. They also follow the four regulative principles that we follow. Like no intoxication. Like the Vishnu Swami who comes in the Shiva Sampradaya. You know, they don't follow these things. These are the people who are more of ascetics. And their objective is more to develop the detachment and mystic powers. And while doing that, they do that. You know, they offer a goat to Kali. Like now, the Kali Puja is going on. In the Calcutta, you can see that, you know, they have some altar where they make the sacrifice. So they tie the goat there, and you know, in one shot you have to sever the head of the goat, and then that is offered to Kali, and people accept that as, you know, prasad, the remnant of that. So they think that by offering such things to Kali, they'll please him and they'll get some mystic. But actually, you know, when they follow such things, out of frustration, you know, Lord Shiva, who says, you know, shows compassion to them and, you know, appears before them and says, okay, well, take whatever you want. Like we see in the Bhagavatam, there is a story of a Shalva who wanted to revenge Lord Krishna for killing Shishupal. So he performed the austerity of, you know, for 1 year, he was just eating some mud. On that he was surviving. So he was almost about to die. And Lord Shiva, you know, showing compassion to him, appeared. So that, you know, he stops this austerity. So Lord Shiva is called Ashutosh. So, you know, out of his compassion, he comes and says, okay, you want it, take it. But stop this nonsense. So that's how, you know, he... Or we see the story of Vrukasura.
when he finally started offering his flesh as an oblation. So he was about to die. And then Lord Shiva appeared. So Lord Shiva, why he is that way encouraging them, so that they at least follow the path of Sanatan Dharma to some way. So sometime, they will become purified by his association or coming in contact with Dude. At least they don't, reject the process or the framework which is given in the Vedas. So they are at least in that system of Vedic followers. So sometime they'll become purified gradually and they'll come to the conclusion or right path. Yes, sir.
This is Vrigu Muni person, is that right?
Yeah.
Vrigu Muni is supposed to be Brahmana, and Brahmana has the qualities like peacefulness and tolerance, and so how is that?
So, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Shakale Ashanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ata Eva Shanta. So what is saying? Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Shakale Ashanta. So people who are who have the desires of bhukti or sense gratification or mukti, liberation, or siddhi, or some mystical powers. These are all ashanta. Ashanta means disturbed. So this curse of Bhrigu Muni is proof of that. What is he desiring of? He is a karmakandi. He is following the Vedas for the for sense gratifications. So Brahmins are also there who follow this desiring sense gratification. So these people are disturbed, ashanta. That's why they react in that way. So this verse is actually the proof of what Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Shakala Ashanta. They are always disturbed. But how is a devotee? Krishna Bhakta Nishkam. He doesn't have this kind of desires of Bhukti Mukti Siddhi. That's why Ata Eva Shanta. That's why a devotee is peaceful. So devotees do not curse. Like here we see, Lord Shiva did not counter cursed. Isn't it? Or with story of Chitraketu, when he apparently makes comment on Shiva and Durga, she curses him. So he happily accepts that. So why? Because he is shanta, peaceful, because he is a devotee. Any comments? Okay, I'll close it. I don't know what I talked, but I hope it was of some value. Hare Krishna.